Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Daytona Beach International Airport, offering new nonstop service to New York City and Boston, Massachusetts. Daytona Beach International Airport features convenient access to the terminal, easy and close parking, and more. Details at flydab.com.
This is Spotlight, Central Florida Public Media's arts, culture, and entertainment segment. I'm Nicole Darden Creston. The Spotlight is on now. The Holocaust Memorial Resource and Education Center of Florida has unveiled a new core exhibit that tells the stories of 10 Central Floridians who survived the Holocaust. The Hope and Humanity exhibit shares the experiences of each person before, during, and after the events of World War II. Visitors are encouraged to choose one of the 10 and follow his or her life story as it unfolds in the exhibit. At the center, Director of Museum Experiences Suzanne Grimmer told me it's a change designed to focus more on individuals instead of overwhelming numbers, like 6 million dead.
Is really trying to root people back into the names and not the number of 6 million. You know, each person was someone's entire world. So by kind of returning the name and really focusing on their lived experience, that's where we think the change comes from.
Director of Education Stephen Pointer says the Hope and Humanity exhibit uses a personal lens to bring history into the present, looking toward a future that's more aware, empathetic, and just.
What you can expect from the Hope and Humanity experience is to meet Holocaust survivors where they're at during the Holocaust. Most Holocaust exhibits and most Holocaust museums tend to focus on the perpetrators. What we focus on is the experiences of individuals who are from Central Florida, who survived the Holocaust, and you will actually meet them throughout the exhibit, and you will meet them at different places in their lives and all the way to the end. You will see them in their lives before the Holocaust. You will see them during the Holocaust. And more importantly, you also see them after the Holocaust and their contributions to our society here in Central Florida.
It seems like an important way to tell the full story of a lifetime of a person, an individual, someone we can relate to in the beginning, middle, and end of their stories. What is it about the frame of Hope and Humanity that makes it different?
When most people think of the Holocaust, I think they think of death. They think of the horror. They think of the 6 million lives, Jewish lives that were taken. And we don't shy away from that. But we don't ever meet anyone as a full person. We don't hear their full story often. And honestly, we think it's about time that we tried something different, where we focus on an impact. Like, what are we trying to do as a Holocaust museum? When you leave, what do we want you to feel? And to do that, we want to show you the entire person. We want to show you their family. We want to show you their story. We want you to actually follow a single story and maybe even come back and then follow a different story. I think my first experience in the Holocaust Museum was at the United States Holocaust Museum. And for me, once I had gone, I didn't really need to go back. You leave feeling sad. You leave feeling downtrodden. You leave feeling maybe a loss of hope for humanity just because of what you witness. We hope that you leave here inspired by what these people went through. Also, we hope you leave impacted. We hope you leave with empathy, perspective. We hope you leave with a sense of understanding that what these people brought to our community is something so much more than that they had to, because they went through something significant and came out on the other side and did something amazing here in our community, and that you leave feeling that you want to impact your community similarly.
Can you give me an example of one of the stories that has stayed with you most profoundly?
One of the stories that impacted me the most is Suzanne Schneider. And probably because Suzanne has gone with our teachers and with myself last year, she told her story to over 25,000 students throughout Central Florida. And she actively goes out into the community on a regular basis to make sure to share her story. And in her story, she is born in Zabadosh, and her father, who's a doctor, they're finding out they're being placed into a ghetto after Russian and then German occupation, and ultimately is fearing for his daughter's life and his wife's life, and asks these two women to hide them. And they end up hiding in a chicken coop for what Suzanne remembers is nearly a year. inside of the house. Something that she frequently talks about as her in her story is the bravery of these people who risked their lives to save her and her family. And she ends up ultimately being liberated as the Soviet army comes in. And then she tells her after story of moving to various countries and ultimately settling in the United States and becoming a foreign language teacher, and not thinking it was necessary to share her story until later on. And then people start asking her. And then she talks about Schindler's List and the Shoah Foundation, which is the organization that Steven Spielberg helped spur on. And she felt then the need to continue to share her story, to talk about the importance of speaking up for others, because her family, she'll say, in her own words, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these two women who hid them right under the nose of the Nazis, because there was actually a Gestapo headquarters across the street from the home of the two women. So you meet her before as a small child. You actually see a picture of her playing on her mother's piano. You see her father, who served in World War I. Then you see her in hiding. And afterwards, you see pictures of her as she is today. So you meet her in all these different places in her life. So when you hopefully, when you leave, you've met her in many aspects of her life and seen her as not just a victim of the Holocaust, but as a whole person and as a member of our community.
Did you say that Suzanne is still with us?
Suzanne is still with us. Actually, she just spoke to over 100 students from Ocoee High School just the other day after they went through the exhibit.
I was struck by what you said about how she didn't feel like it was important to tell her story until she saw some things in the larger media, Schindler's List movie and so forth. I suppose when people live through what we now view as significant, important, vital history, they don't know it.
I would definitely agree. This is a common thread amongst Holocaust survivors. For those that emigrated to the United States, often wanted to move ahead, not look back. And so you won't hear many stories of many survivors who moved to the States or wherever they relocated to and started speaking on their experience in the Holocaust. They wanted to move on with their lives until they started seeing the Holocaust, oftentimes challenged by Holocaust denial. Some even would tell their children, what we call second generation or children of survivors, told them on their deathbeds, I need you to tell my story, because they feel it necessary and they think it can possibly have an impact and we can learn lessons from the Holocaust. There's a memory with purpose, and that's what some of our survivors like Suzanne want us to carry with, the memory with purpose.
Say more about that. It seems to speak to your larger mission to listen to the past and have it inform the future.
It really does. You hear a human story, and then maybe it stays with you longer, because there are many lessons from the Holocaust, and who determines what those are, but I think there's lessons from history. History is more important than just rote memorization. We want to build a just and caring community that's free of anti-Semitism, but all forms of prejudice and bigotry. And that's a tall order, right? And this year, our theme we focus on as the fragility of democracy. We're historians. We're looking at this through a historical lens. We want people to think critically. And when they come through our museum, you actually see that. We have a number of questions that we ask you to think about. Here's your history. Here's your piece of information. Now here's some bigger picture critical thinking questions that don't tell you how to think. They just encourage you to think.
Are there specific lessons that larger society could take from what you teach every day and from the theme of this year's Holocaust Remembrance Day?
Things like the Holocaust didn't happen overnight. The Holocaust happened over time. What we think of as the Holocaust, we mark with 1933 with the first anti-Jewish laws. And it was a small drip of progressions that led to events like Kristallnacht or the November pogrom. We call it the Night of Broken Glass, which is a mass action against Jewish people. And then ultimately into what we think of as the Holocaust with the mass killings that take place from the invasion of Poland all the way through to the end of the war. And none of that started with the start of World War II. Those things started with a small progression. And we don't want to overly compare anything just randomly to the Holocaust. The Holocaust is the murder of 6 million Jews. The Nazis committed millions of other atrocities. And we want people just to be mindful and engaged in their communities. And I mean, this as good citizens. Democracies have to be nurtured. We want people to have conversations. The questions that we pose during our workshops, the questions that we pose during our exhibit, encourage conversation. And I think that's what we want to do. We want people to think. We want people to talk. And we want people to see each other as humans, which again, is goes back to meeting these survivors where they're at. We encourage people, you know, go home and learn your family story. Say hi to a stranger. Talk to someone who doesn't look like you. Carry a survivor's name with you for the week and remember their story. And everyone has a story.
What does Suzanne think of the exhibit?
Suzanne came through and I kind of watched her silently walk through the exhibit. And what was interesting was to kind of see her see pictures that were small in her hands, blown up and placed onto a wall, and her story, and she loved it. And what was interesting was to see people recognize her, because in the exhibit, you don't see her at her current age until the very end. And she was really quite impressed and also wanted to be more engaged. It re-engaged her with us and the mission, but also she's calling, asking, when are there more students to talk to? When are there more communities to talk to?
May I ask Suzanne's age?
Suzanne is 87.
She's got plenty of time then.
Yeah, she has plenty of time. Suzanne has plenty of time. And this is what she also says. I want people to know that it happened. And so she says, as long as I can talk, I will. As long as I can speak out, I will.
That was Stephen Poyner, Director of Education at the Holocaust Memorial Resource and Education Center of Florida. I'm Nicole Darden-Creston. Thank you for listening to Spotlight.